Hello, and welcome to the Naked Truth Podcast, the next evolution of the long-running YouTube series of the same name, the show that discusses life and all manner of topics in an incredibly vulnerable state. Welcome, everyone. In this episode, we are going to talk about death, losing someone close to you, how that feels, whether or not there's an appropriate way to deal with that kind of loss. And joining us for the first time ever on The Naked Truth, we have a very special guest, Steven Spahn. Welcome, Steven.
Yay, welcome, Steve. Oh, wait, that's me. Hold on. Yeah, yay, me. Hi.
Yay, me. Hi. I'm so glad that you're here today. And before we deal with today's subject at hand, since it is a little bit of a downer, you do, Steve, so much amazing work in the games industry as COO of Able Gamers and generally just an A-plus human being. For people who are listening to this podcast that might not be familiar with you and your work, kind of where might they know you from online?
I'm always usually visible online running around raising awareness for people with disabilities. So you may have seen me anywhere from raising $1 million, which we did just earlier this year, to doing goofball things with Ryan Reynolds, to going around with Able Gamers and helping out the world. My general philosophy is that we're here for a very limited time. And some of us, like myself, have terminal illnesses, and that's going to bring the subject of today's podcast even sooner than for others. And so you just have to try to do as much good as you can while you can. So I'm always trying to figure out new ways to do that. Some of them work, some of them are a little bit goofy, but you know, as long as somebody smiles, I win.
I love that. You're a real life superhero to me, Steve.
Aw, you're too sweet. All right, that's a good podcast. We're done, everybody. Take care.
That was the end of it. No, but this is kind of a break for Steven and I, because right now we are going to take a trip back in time and listen to The Naked Truth on Death. This week, I'm going into kind of a interesting one for me. This is going to be a little bit more vulnerable and more honest, if that's possible, side of the shish than you guys are used to seeing. A lot of you know or may know that I recently lost a friend to breast cancer. That was last week. And a few months before that, two or three months before that, I lost a friend to lung cancer. I don't like you. Very much. I'll go so far as to say I hate cancer. I know we talked about the word hate, but I'm appropriately using it here. And Catherine Stewart had written to me a long time ago and said, hey, would you be able to do a Naked Truth on losing a relative or loved one? And I thought, you know what? Now's a great time to do that. Not to mention that I get really interesting when I'm dealing with loss. So, okay. Here we go. The Naked Truth on dealing with death. My brain goes all over the place when I lose somebody close to me, at least. I lost a teacher in high school and I reacted the same way. And that's basically that I kind of go into shock and I get really numb. And like my brain understands that this person is no longer with us, but it takes me a long time for it to really sink in. So, I think like, oh, maybe I'm not crying hysterically, or maybe I'm not grieving the way that I see other people grieve because I happen to believe in an afterlife. And I like to think that, you know, maybe at some point I will be reunited with this person in the hereafter. And then I start to think about, what about for people that don't believe that there is a hereafter? Wow, that's really sad. And then like, what if that is really finite and I will never see that person again? And it scares the crap out of me. And then I start to judge myself because I'm like, why aren't I crying hysterically? Why am I just keeping this very private and to myself? Like maybe I should be doing some more outward showing. And I start to think, wow, maybe the fact that I'm so numb means that I'm a sociopath or that there's something wrong with me. And that really freaks me out. But my mom gave me some great advice when I passed away in high school. And she said, you know, there's no correct way to deal with losing someone. Like whatever you're going through, that's your process, and everybody's process and everybody's time that it takes to go through that process is different. So that's great advice from the mama. And I've also read that in a lot of books with, you know, when they talk about the five stages of grief, they always talk about how it's different for everyone. Which is interesting because I'm like, well, then why are there five stages if it's different for everyone? Because I don't think I go through those five. But anyway, it helps me a lot when I'm coping to get together with someone else who knew that person or memories, whether they're hysterical memories, which happened a lot with my recent friend who passed away. Just such funny times, and so thankful for the laughter. And you know, sometimes in that process, that can really lead to tears, but at least for me, it helps to kind of like honor what that person shared with the world, and you know, toast to that person's memories. And I guess that's why they call a memorial memorial, because people are getting together to share memories. And then after that, I settle into this place where I guess that I've decided it's okay. Like it's all part of some greater plan that they're no longer here, and I can talk to them. And I know that's going to sound really silly if you're someone that doesn't believe that there is anything after, but for me, who at least I believe, I'd like to believe that there is. Obviously, we have no proof, but I like to believe that there is. And so when someone passes, I, you know, sometimes just give them a little shout out or a little talk upstairs, like, hey, you know, could you look after me with this one? Or what do you think of that? Isn't that hilarious? And it kind of makes me feel like there's a piece of them still with me, and that helps. And, you know, like I said, I'm very numb and in shock in the beginning, and then I kind of go through these phases, and it works its way through me. But do I think that it's ever the same as before? No, definitely not. Like that, there's always something about that that will affect you. And yeah. So sorry if that seemed a little scatterbrained and all over the place, but that's what my brain does when I'm going through losing somebody. And fortunately for me, I have not had to go through it all that often in my life, although I have had to go through it twice in the last few months, which again, F you, cancer. You are not my friend. So my question to you guys is, how do you deal with death? How do you deal with the death of a loved one or a friend? What's your coping mechanisms? And what tips do you have for everybody else? Let us know in the comments section down below. Keep suggesting future vlog topics. I'm definitely going to try to make it a lighter one next week or a more fun one, because the place that I'm in mentally right now is not the coolest, and I would not like to live in that place for a long time. So I hope that you're all having a lovely Wednesday, and I will see you next week. Bye, guys. All right, so this vlog was soon after I had lost my friend CJ to breast cancer and another friend of mine, Sherry, to lung cancer. And I still totally stand by the cancer can go screw itself mentality. Fast forward to today, I have now at this point lost more family members over the years. RIP Grandmom Hirschberger, who passed of old age at 103. Total badass. And my Aunt Jan, who recently passed of COVID earlier this year. My sister just lost a really close high school friend unexpectedly this year from a tragic accident. And what the words my sister said to me was, you know, time will help, but this will always hurt. And for me, I still, whenever I am faced in a situation with loss, I still deal with it very awkwardly. And what I mean by that is I don't react in the way that I feel like I should react. And maybe that's based on what we see in media. I don't know. But I generally stay numb for a while before it finally sits with me. And then once it really sits with me, then I kind of start the more traditional grieving process, if you will. Steven, I know that you have such an amazing perspective on this as someone who not only has a terminal illness themselves, but I'm sure you've dealt with loss in your life too, yes?
Yeah, I don't think any of us get away with not dealing with it at some point.
Right. And what is the way that you have seen yourself, and if this has changed over time, please let us know that too. But how do you normally deal with it?
You know, I think it's strange because death is a difficult subject, and it actually sort of runs as a thread through a lot of my teachings and what I try to put out into the world. And what's interesting to me of that is there's a high resistance to it. Someone once told me, who was sort of high up in the speaking circles, they were like, you know, what you're talking about is really good and it's really strong, But a lot of us don't want to deal with death as a subject. We're still very much in this, you know, I'm going to be fine and invulnerable forever and I don't have to worry about anything. And so, you know, I think it's difficult to figure out what is the quote unquote right way to deal with things. For me personally, you know, I think it depends where the loss comes from. I have been to therapy and I've tried to visit those worlds, and there's still parts of me that haven't even dealt with the death of my grandma, and she died 30 years ago. And I'm fairly sure that I'm just stuffing that into a box and keeping it as deep down as I possibly can. Whereas if somebody dies while I'm trying to help them in my day job, I'm more able to deal with that and process it. So I don't know that there is a right way to deal with it, just a way that works for you.
I agree with that. I think that everybody has their own means of going through it. And, I'll kind of go back to this vlog from 6+ years ago. It's been wild that this has been going on that long. But when my mom said to me in high school, you know, however you deal with it, that is your right way to deal with it right now. I think that's so very wise and so very true, because everyone's process does look different. And one of the things that I will say I found between that vlog many moons ago and now is that sometimes games can help you through it, which, I mean, Steve, like what you do and the platform you're on is about how games can help so many different people with so many different things. And I never really thought about video games being used to kind of help with grief. But I don't know if you ever played the game Gris. It's G-R-I-S. So some people will pronounce it Gris.
Oh, yes.
But
yeah, I played Gris. Yes.
Yeah, that's a fantastic game for going through the stages of grief. Yeah. And, you know, that's something that might help if anyone out here is listening to this that's kind of needing an artistic way or a piece of art to help kind of move you through those different emotions that you might be feeling in that time. But I agree with you, Steve. I don't think that there is one specific way to grieve.
I mean, Spiritfarer was another good one. Deals with the entire subject of losing people and characters in your lives. And I think when you know that there's something in your life that's emotional, that's boiling as an undercurrent in your soul, is when you're watching TV. And you tell me if I'm wrong here, Trisha, but do you think, like, when you're watching TV or even just a simple, like, 2-minute advertisement, and all of a sudden you feel that choked upness in yourself and you're like, why are my eyes starting to tear up? And you're like, oh, I guess I'm not processing this quite fully yet. And I think games can kind of bring that out in us pretty easy.
Yeah. Yeah. I would agree with that. I think, you know, there's lots of different, whether it be for some people it's movies, but I mean, for me, it really is games, because you are the protagonist. You're going through the story as the protagonist. So it kind of brings it out in a different way. Nowadays, you know, when I'm dealing with grief, I try to focus on making it a celebration of the life that was lived and the time that I got to spend with that person. So when I do hear someone say to me, you know, Think of me, think of my family, pray for us, we just lost someone. My now immediate reaction is, tell me what your favorite memory of that person is.
That's a fantastic way to look at having to process that in a happy way. I think one of the ones that's always tripped me up about people's different ways of processing death is figuring out whether they can frame it as a happy memory in their mind. Mm-hmm. And I think all of us have learned along the way, not everybody can flip that switch to where the pain becomes happy memories. You know, the old Dr. Seuss, you know, don't be sad because it's over, be happy because it happened. And I think for me, you know, remembering the good times with people, it always kind of triggers the ultimate sadness of, like, waking up from a dream in which you were super happy, and then you wake up and you realize it's not real. And sometimes that snapback can be a little bit abrupt.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right there, too. I think this kind of came to me as a realization and why I started doing this from, again, you know, we'll take it back to art kind of influencing people's lives. But for me, from the movie, now I'm going to totally forget the name of the movie. What is that really sweet Disney film about Dia de los Muertos?
Coco?
Yes, thank you, Coco.
Yeah.
That movie to me, first of all, it taught me more about the celebration of Dia de los Muertos and really what it is. And I just kind of loved that outlook and the fact that you can revisit those memories and have a dedicated time to revisit those memories and celebrate that life each year. And I thought, oh, to me, that seems like such a healthier way of dealing with it than what I was doing prior.
Yeah, so absolutely.
So having those times set aside to say, you know, what are your favorite memories? What were their favorite foods? Kind of lets those memories live on in a way that not every culture, I don't think, is as great as celebrating.
No, I don't feel like American culture, by and large, is very good at dealing with death. Like, some of us are very used to it happening all the time, due to where we grew up or what our socioeconomic status is or what our job is. And no one really teaches you that in school, how to process losing people. It would definitely be a good life skill to have someone who's older teaching you when you're very young, like, hey, this is how you process it. Because they kind of just throw us to the deep end and go, I don't know, figure it out.
Well, I think that's as a result of what you said earlier, where people don't really like to talk about it. It's a downer. Let's focus on the happy things and not think about our own impending mortality, which is a very real thing that we're all going to deal with at some point or other. So maybe being prepared for it would be a good thing.
That's right. Death, taxes, and the next Fast and the Furious sequel. That's about the only things that are given in life.
Absolutely. So, see, for you, being someone who has a terminal illness, you know, does that change your outlook when you lose someone, or just kind of your day-to-day outlook, apart from trying to make the most of the time you have here?
I found that it has a bit of duality to it. I tend to lean on thinking about the invisible clock ticking above all of our heads. It's something that I've loved to talk about for years. You know, you have a clock above your head. I have a clock above my head. We don't ever talk about it. It's taboo to speak about it. But, you know, our day of gone, being gone from this planet, is already foregone conclusion. You know, depending on your views of religion or time or space, you know, it's already a done deal.
Right.
And so we just don't know when it's going to be. I can't tell you when you're going to fall over. There's a fantastic book by Chuck Wendig called Blackbirds about a woman who can, and I thought that was a fascinating subject. But, you know, in reality, there's no way to know. So it helps me in that I'm always aware of it. It's omnipresent. It's always there. And so it motivates me to do things with more haste, to do things with, you know, efficiency and with purpose. And so that has helped me as a motivating factor in my life. But unfortunately, I find some people just would rather not think about it at all. They don't want to think about how this is going to affect them or how they're going to deal with that eventuality. And so it's one of those strange things where it helps me as a person. But as somebody who has to deal with death, you know, like I said, probably still having repressed my grandma passing away, or, you know, being sad when a beloved animal passes or a friend is gone. You know, I've lost over 5 friends to COVID. Ugh. And, you know, it hasn't helped at all. And that, you know, because I'm still sad that clock hit 0. So, you know, it's one of those things where there's the intellectual side of your brain and there's the emotional side of your brain. So intellectually, I understand its inevitability, but, you know, emotionally, I think I still thrash against it.
Yeah, I think we're all stuck in that. You know, you were talking about kind of the emotional side of your mind versus the logical side of your mind. And I'm with you. You know, I get that we all have this clock. But like for me, especially as a parent, when I think about, you know, that my tiny human might not be on this earth at some point. Like my brain is not even capable of thinking about that, to be honest.
Yeah.
So it just shuts it down. It's not something I can even rationally comprehend at this point in my life. And you mentioned earlier, you know, when people lose a furry friend, I've often heard that having pets, sometimes one of the bonuses to having pets is that it is a good way to kind of deal with that conversation with kids at an early age. Because, you know, if you have a dog or a cat, their lifespan is obviously not anywhere near what that is expected of a human life. So it might be a way to have that conversation and deal with that topic ahead of time. I don't know if you've ever lost a pet and had that experience yourself, Steve.
Yeah, so far I've lost two pets that have meant a lot to me. I'm a cat guy, and so I've had cats for my entire life. And you know, the good thing about a cat is that they're not quite at the level of man's best friend. They're not, you know, where you have a dog who's out there, you know, adventuring the world with you. But a cat is still a furry companion that recognizes you and loves you in their own way, and even if they probably would murder you and eat you once you're dead. But whatever. You know, aside from that, you know, cats are very loving creatures, and so mine was just kind of wild in that animals, I truly believe, can sort of sense things in emotions, vibrations, chemical output, whatever it really is, according to science. But my cat, Charlie, was always really good at knowing when I was sick. And so he would come up and lay with me, you know, wherever I was in my wheelchair or in my hospital bed, and just sort of hang out, even when I was, you know, extremely sick. And so it always felt like I had that trusty animal companion with him. And you know, losing him was hard, because it wasn't that I lost the animal, it was that I lost the companionship. I lost that security blanket. I lost feeling like I wasn't completely alone in those moments. And I think it triggers things in us. I think we, you know, and this is sort of breaking death really, really down here, but I think in some ways it's dealing with death is a little bit selfish. Because it's, I don't feel like it's totally about, oh man, I'm gonna miss my animal, or oh man, I'm gonna miss my friend. You start thinking about what you have personally lost, not just about the fact that they're not gonna be here anymore. And I do think it's natural to, because, you know, humans are generally creatures that tend to think about ourselves, even if we try to be not selfish people. And so I think it's more about the instances you've lost along the way, whether that's a human or an animal in my case. But I think you know, you definitely lose more than just the being itself.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And I've seen a lot of people write multiple things over the years about how death and the ways of coping with death can feel like a very selfish experience, especially if you have someone who is struggling with an illness and is in pain. You know, at the time that they pass, it might have been the best thing for them, even though you're mourning what you personally have lost. But I do think you're absolutely correct that, you know, inherently as humans, we do reflect on our personal experience of a certain event, because that's obviously what we know the best. So, and this is really breaking down death into, you know, the ways of coping with it. Are we going through ways of coping with it that are selfish? Are we going through ways of coping with it that are selfless? Are there many different phases and layers to that that we'll go through throughout our time of mourning and dealing with it, and however long that might take? Stephen, if anyone listening to this is going through a recent loss, do you have any advice for them?
I do. I think that when you're going through a loss, you have to understand that there are going to be multiple emotions, and there are so many good books that, you know, I'm sure you could learn from this podcast and from others on, you know, how to deal with the stages of grief, and they're mostly going to tell you the same thing. Here's what most humans go through. Here are the things that you should expect. But at the end of the day, it's really going to be your own personal journey. And the best thing that you can do in any situation where you're losing someone from your life is to understand that there are no wrong emotions. It's not wrong to be angry at the person for, quote, leaving you. It's not wrong to feel sad for yourself. It's not wrong to feel like the person who else loved that person is now going through a hardship, and being either angry or sad or distraught over that is a bad thing. It's all part of the human experience, and we all know that we have to deal with it. But just because something is inevitable doesn't mean that it's not difficult. You know, for some people, getting up in the morning and putting on pants is difficult. For other people, it's an easy 2-second process. So we all have different ways of dealing with it. The only way that you can really get through life and deal with the sadness of death is to figure out what way your brain processes the information, and then do your best to be kind to yourself. You know, there's that old quote of, we don't have funerals for the dead, we have funerals for the living. That's our process, is to let go and say goodbye to someone that we cared about. And I think emotions are just a part of that. And if you are repressing or you find yourself where you don't feel those emotions, maybe it is time to talk to someone and realize that there's no one in this world that doesn't eventually deal with it. So whether it's a professional or a friend, someone else out there can help you through this experience.
Yay for therapy.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But I love that. Everyone's process is different, and be kind to yourself. Thank you for that. We had a few callers, people who listen to the podcast, call in for this episode. But one that I would like to highlight, because I think it is a little bit of a positive take on the topic, is from Thomas.
I want to say that when I die, I would like to have my ashes scattered in the woods that surround the Cyan building. And the reason for that is because I can't have them scattered on Mist Island because it's not a real place. And I figured that would be the next best thing. And I have a prop moiety knife from Riven, and I want that to sort of mark the spot where my ashes are. That's all I want in terms of a grave. So that's all I have to say. Okay, bye.
I love Mist so much, and I think that is an excellent thought for what happens to your remains afterwards. So thank you for that. So that's that, everybody. If you want to be part of the podcast moving forward, Anchor lets you send in audio messages that are then sent to me, which can be really fun. And if you want to do that, you can do so on anchor.fm/Trisha-Hirschberger. The next few episodes coming up will be on bad boys versus nice guys and comedy. So feel free to send in any questions or comments on those topics, and you just may hear them on a future episode. Steven, thank you so much for being here today. It was so lovely to have you. Welcome to the Naked Army. If people want to follow you online, where can they do that?
You can do that at Steven Spohn, S-P-O-H-N, on Twitter and Facebook. I think I'm Steven Spohn Official, and I stream on Twitch under Steve, I-N-S-P-A-W-N. You can always find me playing on weekends, trying to hang out with my community. And really, it was just an honor to come on and talk about some raw subjects. I don't think that there are enough podcasts out there that talk about real subjects. There's a lot of podcasts that talk about super fluffy stuff that makes us feel really good. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that, but I think that sometimes you have to deal with the real subjects in life, and it's good to have some guidance, and you provide that for people.
Well, thank you for saying that. That's what the Naked Truth is all about. And don't get me wrong, sometimes we do the Naked Truth on fluffy topics too. But we try to cover, you know, the spectrum that one might get in real life. Sometimes there's ups and sometimes there's downs, and it's been lovely having you here and able to kind of cover the full spectrum today, sharing with us your successes and your wins and all the goods you're putting out into the world, as well as dealing with some more raw and real topics. So if there's anything you haven't shared on this topic or anything you're doing upcoming, are there any final thoughts you want to leave us with today, Steve?
You know, here's the truth about everything in life. One of my hardest parts that I never talk about online with my job with Able Gamers is that sometimes we go to make a controller or to peer support someone who has an illness, and quite frankly, we just don't make it to them in time. They pass on. And it's a hard subject to deal with, and it's part of the unspoken things that we all deal with. You know, Robin Williams and his quote about you never know what someone's dealing with. These are the fights we have. These are the demons that we deal with. These are the things that haunt us at night. And I at the risk of sounding like a broken record, it's reminding people that there are always things going on, and the only thing that we can do is be empathetic and kind to one another. And if you don't know how to do that, simply try to put yourself in someone else's shoes and think, if I was going through this, what would I want someone to do for me? And then try to do that for the other person. And that's how you make the world a little bit better place.
I love that, and super well said. All right, everyone, this has been The Naked Truth. Thanks for listening.